So let's pray and see what God's going to do with us. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word, to talk about, Father, your plan of what you wanted from first beginning of mankind to the day that you go to the great white throne and move into the heavenlies. Thank you, Father, for teaching me that others may be taught. Thank you for the blessing of seeing in a small glimpse eternity, past and future. In your Son's most holy, precious, blood name, we all say, praise God. All right, so who is here that wasn't here last week? We'd like for you to tell us your name, okay? How long you've been at Antioch, and how did you come to Antioch and into this class? How about that? So I know there's a couple I recognize as one here, okay?
I'm Corey Bell.
Oh, Corey, you got to stand, man. You got to have a good shot.
Okay. Corey Bell.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Tyler Alexander. I've been going to Antioch for about 3 months now. And like Corey, I work with Robin Cunnell. So he is my influence into the group.
Man, we had to pay him extra. No problem. Just be pushy. Excellent. No, thank you.
I'm Patricia Brown. I've been coming to the church since, I guess, about the middle of the end of December. A co-worker of mine, Nicole Brett Cavell, introduced me.
Wow.
And, been trying to make it here.
Thank you. We have already established that it's going to be difficult every Wednesday. Some of the people that are here even last week is not here this week because it's impossible not to run into things and people trying to keep you from coming in other instances and circumstances, because this class is just a great class to learn about what God expects. That you can learn about. We're going to talk about every major doctrine in the Bible that you are not going to even know that we're talking about doctrine, because I'm going to make it so much fun. Most doctrine classes is the most boring thing in the world. Systematic theology, the way it's taught in seminaries and Bible schools, really stink. Okay? Just Christian, like Christian movies. They stink. Like a bad wig. You know, that's what Mel Gibson said anyway. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to get you rolling in some of the greatest things. Really, if you can hang in there and walk through this whole class, and each week builds upon the previous week, you're going to see how easy it is to grab the picture of systematic theology and why the church should be the church and why Christians should be what we are inside the church. You can't get anything better than I got 30-some years into thinking through and trying to put this class together. My Christian life has been put on page, basically, of understanding what God's whole plan is. So you're going to get a good look into my life as we go through this class. All right? I was going to say, you're not new.
Because I missed some Wednesdays, so I'm trying to cover all my issues, and I've been going to Antioch for 6 years.
All right, Jen, thank you. Now, where's your cohorts?
I don't know.
Are they going to try to come back the third time again? Okay. Maybe if you come by yourself, you better make it every time. All right. So, we're going to get ready here. Now, I talked about this last week. What's wrong with the system? No base. This is a Caucasian system. Okay, we want you to know that. And one of these days, we're going to hook some base up to it, and then we're going to thump a little bit during class. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get some feeling in here. All right. We talked a little bit about introduction and overview. Those of you that weren't here last week, you missed a lot of that. But, you know, it's just really getting to know one another. So I'm such a fun guy that you probably didn't even need that anyway, but, you know, we needed to waste a week until we get everyone in. Now I need to waste another week, but we're not going to wait on folks that's not here. we're going to roll. All right? Phase one, phase two, introduction, testimony, overview, history, vision, purpose, bam, that's done. We're already through. But phase one took us 2 weeks. In your book, I think it still said week, right? Or did we change it? We got it changed? Excellent. So they did change it. So we got phase one. We're done with it. We're getting ready tonight to start on phase two. And three, scripture. We're going to talk about the foundational truths tonight. We're going to be smoking. Then we're going to go to the Trinity. God the Father, Jesus Christ, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God Himself. Most people call the Holy Spirit it. In King James Version of the Bible, there's several versions you have to watch out for. King James, if you're going to be a studier of the Bible, you're going to have a King James Version somewhere in your house. King Jimmy wasn't a Christian, but he wanted to be famous and liked by the people, so he got the best scholars together and put the King James, and if you're from the South, it's King James. All right? Put the King James Version together, and if you're going to be a student of the Bible, you're going to have a King James Version somewhere in your house. So you need a basic three versions of the Bible if you're going to study the Bible. Anyone can do devotions. But if you're truly going to study the Bible, and if we have time, which we don't have another class after us, and you guys need to put in your notes somewhere at the end of your book, pastor, teach us how to study the Bible. We're going to do a session one night on how to study the Bible. Okay? And just, it'll blow you away. I learned in high school, I knew how, when I became a Christian, I knew how to be an honor roll student. I knew how to please my coach. And I knew how to make sure that I do good on tests. So when I became a Christian, I didn't know nothing about the Bible. So I took the Bible and I started studying the Bible like I had to take a test on it. And to this very day, I do the same thing basically as I study the Bible. And the best way to study a test book is to do what? Read it. Guess what the best way it is to study the Bible? Read it. And if you're going to be a student of the Bible, you've got to learn how to read it. You need four different versions at least if you're going to study the Bible. We're going to break that down. Why? Because if you've got four different versions, as you're studying, each version has a little bit of twist on how the verse reads. And if you've got four different ways of reading it, then you get the whole picture of that one verse instead of just reading one version. Because the King Jimmy is a whole bunch of these and thous. Can I say amen? And it's real easy to memorize King Jim. You know what I'm talking about? Because you can throw a down a D in there, and you know, you just throw it forward and go, ooh, he's smart. May not be a down a D in the verse, but you fooled him. You know what I'm talking about. So King Jim is the easiest one to memorize because it has a song to it. American Standard has a good Bible, good translation. NIV, New International Version, a very good Bible. I had to watch out for some of the translations because some of the minds that got involved in that tried to throw in some things that they thought need to be changed, but you know, you have to watch out on those guys. But it's the best translatable, accurately readable Bible around. That's it, New International, NIV. Yeah, it's a good reading, accurate Bible. Then you should have something like the Amplified, which we joke and say Amplified was written by a woman. Do we know why we joke and say Amplified written by a woman? So words, so many words. One verse may have 10 words in it, Amplified will have 25 words in it. But what does that mean? It means it really lays a lot of time in Amplified, it'll give you the definition of the word right in the verse. So it's really wordy, okay? Or it'll give you three or four different words. Like you can read one translation and have one word, read another translation, and it may have another word for that same verse in that same place, and read another version, but the Amplified try to put everything in every version in that one verse. So a regular Bible may be this thick, Amplified is this thick. But it's good to read instead of having for study because it helps you understand the verse, okay? So those are the things. I'm a King James Bible man. I preach out of King James because that's the major book I study when I'm studying, and I've used it for 30-some years. It's not any better than another one. It's not any less than another. It's just that's the way King James is for me. All right? And don't let these people, you know, when they throw at you as Christians, guys, don't let them throw at you, well, you've got to be a King James man. If you're not a King James man, you're going to miss out on what God really says. Just do this. Do what God is probably doing when they say that. God's having a holy throw up there, all right? King James is good for studying because it brings you back to the original better than most other Bibles do. But one of the problems King James has is in Romans chapter 8, where it calls the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, it. Okay? The Revised King James has corrected thoughts like that. And it says him, himself, not itself. Because the Holy Spirit is not a and it. The Holy Spirit is a person. So we got to, it's very important as we get into the Trinity. And it's going to blow your mind, but relax. It's blowing everybody's mind, okay? So you were in good company. Blew my mind when I first started. Page 4, depravity of man, salvation, eternal security. Woo! We're going to smoke those. What does depravity of man, those of you that was here before, and we went through here, what does depravity of man mean? There is no, who said that? Was that you, Jen? Oh, he was in the, ha! It's without any good. Okay? Man is without any good. Now, you have a lot of people, man, that have a problem with that one. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 17, which is very important for all of us to gravitate to and understand, that no one would ever seek after God if God didn't seek after you first. You would not even have the possibility of thinking about God if the Holy Spirit didn't prick your heart. Because what it craved. That little bitty cute baby. How many people have to teach a child, a baby, how to be selfish? Is it innate? Is it in them? You can have 50 toys with two kids in one room. But they'll fight over what? Same one. Why? Selfish. You touch that first. And then it's the same thing about people trying to say, well, men is one way and women is one way, and it's a cultural thing. Please, it is innate by God's structure. Man has brain damage. We do. After age 2 or 3, testosterone kicks in. Remember, at a certain age, you can't tell if it's a boy or a girl. You know that? They all look like girls. I mean, come on, talk to me. Yourself, if your baby was named Theophilus. What do you mean, Theophilus? Yeah, you know, it's a biblical name. No, when that girl looked at that baby, go, whew, that's Theophilus looking baby I've ever seen in my life. Now, but when a baby is a certain age, you can't tell. You have to ask, or you look at the colors. Y'all too, Pastor. You look at the colors, ooh, that's a cute girl. Or you look at the colors, strong looking boy. It don't really say it's a cute boy. You ever notice that? Ooh, that's a strong looking boy. Handsome. Look, after a certain age, you don't need to know the colors. What happens? All of a sudden, they stink better. Testosterone kicks in. And then they quit trying to talk. They just make noises. Well, girls, put them in a room together. Look at each girls. Whatever they do. They have conversation. They relationship together. They want to dress that doll. I mean, come on. I mean, isn't it amazing? Well, that boy, the best thing he wants to do with the dog is pull the head off. And he doesn't talk. He goes, ah! And people go, keep guns from kids. Boys will pick up a straw and shoot you with. Have you ever known? I mean, it's amazing. Why? And it's innate in us. It's innate in us. God has made us that way. We can't get away from it. But that comes from depravity. And God has a plan for the depravity of man. Huh? Smoke it. Salvation, if we are depraved, then God had to have a plan to make us right with Him. And if He gives it to us, something that you can't earn, then God had to come up with a plan to make sure that if you can't earn it, can you lose it? So we'll talk about that. Phase 5 and 6, talk about the church. What is the purpose of the church? Spiritual gifts. I'm going through all this again, guys, because I got to give them tape. Okay? So slow down. Some of you are going, come on, speak. Be sensitive. Maybe the last time in this class you don't get some sensitivity. So let me be sensitive. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Ooh! And then that's going to be a class. There's so much discussion about tongues. about healings, about the gift of faith. I want to give you a secret right now. Lay it out so you don't have to worry. You won't have to ask a question. There is no such thing today that I have ever seen, the gift of healing. Nobody has the gift of healing. All of us have the power to pray and have God heal someone. But no one has the gift of healing today. Even the people, check this out, even the people who say they had it still die. Talk to the pastor. If you have the gift of healing, just keep on healing yourself. Boy, pastor, you can't use it on yourself. Okay, I accept that. But you got to have 7 basic qualities if you have the gift of healing. And no one has it today. Even the guys who say they have it, what's the first question they ask someone if they want to heal them? What was that? Do you have faith? First question they ask, do you have faith? That's the nature of their faith healers. Do you understand one of the qualifications of being a faith healer is the person you heal don't have to have faith? You got it. Can I get an amen somewhere in this class? I'm working hard up here. I'm the hardest working man in the show business. James Brown got arrested, so now I'm the hardest working man in the show business. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Smoking time. That's going to be so good because there's so much misconception about spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about Christian service. What does God expect from you as a believer after you get your gift, after you join the church? When do you get your gift? After you get to church and when you become a Christian. When you become a Christian. But you can't use your gift unless you be in the church. And you can't find out what your gift is unless you're in the church. Really important. We're going to learn that. Phase 7 and 8, second event, Millennial Kingdom, Governments and Questions. We're going to talk about that. We'll spend lots of time. The further away we get away from the book of Revelation, the more time we have to spend on eschatology. Everyone know what eschatology is? I mean, you spoke with authority on that one, girl. No. Tell me. That's what you're saying. What's eschatology?
End times,
future events. Everything's going to happen after the church age. We're going to walk through that. Talk about what God is going to do, how God is going to judge, who He's going to judge, why He's going to judge, who He's going to put in. No one, you know, hell is uninhabited right now. Everyone know that? There's no one in hell. You didn't know that? No, it's uninhabited. No one's in there. Anyone know who the first one's going to be put in there? Methodist. No, I'm just kidding. Now, anyone know who's going to be the first one? I'm a sick person. Okay, I'm sorry. I told you that's the last part is going to be in my sensitivity. 2 people is going to be in hell by themselves for 1,000 years before anyone else. Not Lucifer. No. Yes. Judas? He should be, but no. Antichrist and the false prophet. Antichrist and the beast, the same one. Antichrist and the false prophet will be put in hell at the beginning of the millennium, and then Satan, which is going to be put in the pit, which is a different place than hell. Man of dead is a different place than hell. Did you guys know that? We'll talk about that. We'll walk through all that. So many times, how many things we think we know. Again, you're going to see why so many of us, and why I say at times, many of us believe the Bible because we do not know what it says. Okay? Because we've been fed false information. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Sheol. He didn't go to hell, remember? Land of the dead, Sheol.
And he said some people were sent out of it, right?
Right. Christians that had died waiting for him to be sacrificed. Because no Christian could go to God until he was sacrificed. Abraham's bosom, paradise. It was in the land of the dead. All the believers that believed the Messiah was coming was put there because no one could go before God until the perfect Lamb of God was sacrificed. We all know that, right? You know, people are going, no. You think I am the teacher? I'm going through it real fast right now, but we'll break it all down for you when we go through future events, okay? It'll help you. Yes, ma'am, go ahead. I know you said something. Okay? So it's paradise right now. And then when Christ died, Ephesians 4 said he took captivity captive, where he removed paradise from Sheol, the land of the dead, to heaven. So Christians today die and go straight to heaven. Did y'all hear that one? Was there such a thing as purgatory? It was a movie. But it's for the place, no. There's no place as purgatory. Where are all the non-believers? They're in Sheol, land of the dead. And they was there looking when God took all the people who died as Christians out of there. And they go, uh-oh. Dope. That's where that came from. Ephesians 4. Dope. Before that, no one said it. Okay, now, look how much stuff we learn every night. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? So, all right. So, before I move, any questions on what we've gone over so far? Come on. No question is what? It's a stupid question, dumb question. No question is stupid, dumb question. Why? Because there's two or three other people that are going to laugh at you because they're glad you asked it instead of them. So, help make somebody happy. Ask me a dumb question. Okay? So, feel free. Doesn't matter. No question is bad. No question can be embarrassing. Unless I laugh at you when you ask it. Okay, Miss Elvis Sucker. First page. So, all right, we just done that. See, you're on top of it. We're getting ready for the next page now, Miss Elvis Sucker. Okay. Oh, no.
Funeral home. They
are. Girl, I'm sorry, man. I shouldn't do that to them, right? I shouldn't do that, you know. No, they are. When Christians die, they go straight to heaven now. Before Christ was crucified, they had to go to Abraham's bosom, land of the dead, where all non-believers died and are. It was just a big chasm that God has set up to separate them until he took them out. Oh, no.
They're coming back
with us, babe.
I'm talking about the Christians.
The Christians?
Already up in heaven.
Yeah.
When he comes back down.
They're coming with him. Because we're going to rule with him for 1,000 years.
Oh, then they're coming back up with him.
Yeah. We're going to be government. We're going to help rule the earth for 1,000 years. We're going to be his government officials. Okay? Next week, being on Jesus' team. So we won't have to be dealing with stuff like we're dealing with Olympia now. We have a righteous king that makes the laws, baby.
When we come back, we'll be resurrected.
No.
How are we coming back?
No question is a what? Dumb question. All right, now, here we go. Now, let me show you. Wait a minute. We're going to be resurrected even if we're dead when Christ calls the church out. That's when we're resurrected.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be up there for 7 years during the tribulation period. Oh, you can be cremated. God has no problem. He knows where all your molecules are that he created. I mean, what about the Christian that got ate by a shark pooped in the sea? Gonna have an amen around here somewhere.
Amen.
God's gonna put them back together. You might as well cremate yourself. I'm gonna say amen. God's going, oh man, I can't bring him back. He's somewhere down there on the sea. He's gonna be in. What can I say? The guy that ate. I showed him last week. Guy got swallowed by a snake. Yes. Oh, yes, it's true. Oh, no, girl. I'm telling you, it's true. I'm sorry. Don't worry about it. It's true. But even if the snake swallowed a pig, the guy looked like a person. You sit there and look at the whole aspect. Even if you're swallowed by a snake and digest it, even if you burn up in a fire as a Christian, if you're dropped in the sea by another animal on the other side of the eating process, was that better, ladies? Okay, thank you. I'm a very sensitive guy. God knows what?
He knows
where you are. He created you. He created you from nothing. So he's going to be able to pull you up from what you go by. And that's dust. Every man was made from dust. If he can make man originally from dust where there was no life, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. What's going to happen? He can do it again. He has no problem with it. So you hear Christians say, well, you shouldn't be cremated. You shouldn't do this. Da, 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 da. No problem for God.
I work in surgery, and we have a lot of patients that come in that, you know, they're supposed to get
job. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They need body parts taken out.
Right. A bad one. Right. It's called bad.
It's called something that they want to keep
Yeah, it's called bad belief. You know, most people believe the Bible. Why?
They
don't know what it says. Okay. All right, are we having fun yet? I love questions. I mean, you know, no questions, bad questions. And when I give you the answer, you know, it's going to be from the Bible, because I don't have an opinion. My opinions are crazy anyway. Amen. But God's answers are true. And that's what we want. Okay? So, last chance before we get ready to go. Throw some at me. Any more questions? Okay. Our vision says. Anyone know who that is? Ah, from what? Star Trek, baby! I got a Trekkie. This is our vision statement. And, of course, every aspect of Antioch is under construction. Because we're becoming the church that God wants us to become. And our people are under construction. Now, you being in this class proves that you are under construction or becoming what God wants us to be. Antioch exists to glorify God by equipping God's people of all cultures for the work of the ministry. Lori? Laura? Are you on the right page?
Yes.
Okay, all right, we're flowing. Anytime. I'm sorry, probably threw you off because on your page, you didn't have this on there. So you was just thrown off for a moment, okay? All right, so what does that mean? I mean, those are a bunch of good words, but what does it mean? If we're going to be the church that Christ called us to be, what does that mean? We're going to learn that through the next 13, 14 weeks. Huh? And then after the class, man, you're going to lay it out, baby. I mean, you're going to go, oh, yes, that's what it means. And you're going to have an spiritual experience. You're just going to start trying that. It's going to be great. Then most of you might not even think about it by the time you get to the end of the class. You have so much information. Ooh, animation. Now, this is what? Our purpose? Antioch's purpose. The A in Antioch stands for all members, what? Ministering. Why do we want all members ministering? Example to the world, bring more people to Christ. What God calls all to do. That's why we say, if you're going to be a member of Antioch, after this class, you say you agree to the doctrine aspect of what's been taught, where the church stands, you want to be a member, you have to sign up for a ministry. Because that's what God expects of it. All members ministry. Okay? In New Testament model. You understand that most churches really don't know what the New Testament model for the church is. Most churches only know what their denomination says. But you can... All right, I like that. You're Jeremy, right? I like that, man. I'm gonna feel better after that one. Okay, after the next three. There you go, baby. So many people base what the church is supposed to be on what they've been trained in their life as they grew up. The mom taught them. The denomination taught them. But when you get in the Bible and you start reading what the Bible says about certain things that churches and denominations hold on to that isn't true in the Bible, what do you think is the most important? What the Bible says or what they've been taught? That's what we know. But what's more important? Most people think what they think is right is more important. And a lot of times what they'll do is they'll say, what does that mean in Greek? They make excuses for holding on to. Like for Catholicism, for instance. Where does it say that you can't go to God and pray specifically yourself? In the Bible. But most people are going to go to Mary. And most people is going to go to the priest. Can't hear you. In many other forms where Methodist teaches, if you're going to be baptized, how do they say you need to be baptized? Anyone know how you're baptized in Methodist Church? You're sprinkled. sprinkle. No submersion. Just sprinkle. What do you think the Bible teaches? Submersion. Why? Because it isn't based upon what I think, that Methodist isn't good, or if the Catholic isn't good, or the Baptist. The Baptist church teaches that the congregation rules and tell the church where to go. Well, the Bible says, where can a sheep ever tell a shepherd where to take them to feed them? I mean, if we're going to be biblical, which we say we're going to be biblical, then what's more important? Supposed to be the Word. But the reason why we have denominations is because we've made the Bible fit us instead of us fitting them. That's why we really want to stand here at Antioch on the New Testament model. And the only New Testament model it is to go and do what the Bible says do. Act the way the Bible says act. Commit the way the Bible says commit. Respond the way the Bible says respond. Then you got a New Testament church. Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
No, and Hebrews tells us now, in times past, God spoke to us by the prophets and others, and now we can go directly to Christ. Phenomenal. Isn't that phenomenal? Here about the, here about the Catholic priest that was in a small town, and there was only one Catholic church there, and the Jewish rabbi, the only two churches. Synagogue wanted to be called a church with. And the Catholic priest wanted to go on vacation after 15 years. He'd never been on vacation. So they said, man, what's going to happen if I go on vacation? There's going to be no one here that's going to take confessions. So the Jewish rabbi says, I'll do it for you. He said, you can't do it, man. It may take years of training. He said, no, I can do it. I can do it. He said, are you kidding me? No. He said, well, won't you sit in with me in the confession booth for 3 or 4 days and get the feel of it? He says, okay. So, first person walks in, got in the confession booth and says, oh, dear Father, I have sinned. And he said, my son said, what have you done? He said, I've committed adultery 3 times. He said, oh, my son, 3 times. He said, 3 times. He said, get on your knees, 5 Hail Marys, and your sins are forgiven. Thank you, Father. He walks out. Catholic priest sitting there watching. Wow, that's all right. Second guy comes in. And then says, oh, Father, I have sinned. Oh, no, so what did you do? I've committed adultery 3 times. Oh, no, my son. Yes, no. I'm committed. He said, oh, it's okay. 5 Hail Marys, and you'll be fine. Your sin will be forgiven. He said, thank you. So he leaves. Catholic priest says, I think I got it. He said, think? Oh, I can do it. He said, well, let's practice. So he got Catholic. The priest gets out the way. The rabbi sits down. Lady walks in. He says, oh, Father, I have sinned. I said, oh, really? Yes. I've committed adultery. And so how many times? I said, oh, once. He said, oh, go back and do it 2 more times. We got $3 for $1. $3 for $5. My question to you is what? Systems don't work. Systems don't work. Why do we not have the New Testament model in church? Because it's based on tradition, it's based on history, it's based on wrong teaching, and it's based on denominalism. At Antioch, we determined to have a New Testament model. T, the teaching of the Word of God. If you don't know anything else about Antioch, you've been here for a while, what is our strongest point? The Word of God. We're going to just teach the Word of God. Book by book, word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And guess what? You can't skip anything. If I don't like a subject and I'm teaching in the book, guess what I got to do? I got to lay it out there. And do I have to lay it out as hard as I do the rest of them? Or as soft as I do the rest of them? Most people don't think I ever do anything soft when it comes to the Word. But I do. Okay? So, what about the I? Intercession. What is intercession? What's intercession? What do you do when you intercede for someone? Come on, Matthew, what's up?
Doing something for someone.
Just trying to make it better for someone else. You have the ability to do that. See, most people think intercession is just praying for someone. Intercession is more than that. It's putting yourself in the position of that person and what needs to be done through you to make it good for that person. Jesus was the greatest intercessor for us. We're going to talk about that. Yeah, is that smoking? How about the O? Outreach. That's self-explanatory. Amen? Get outside the four walls, take the word of God, win sheep, bring them back home so they can be fed. The church is not on Sunday morning. The major purpose biblically is not to win non-believers. The biblical model is this. The church comes in to get fed. You feed the sheep and send them out to teach and multiply God's word. We're the ones that changed the whole view of what Sunday is about. We made Sundays now more for non-believers. You don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to turn anybody off. Question. How can you turn someone off that's never been on? They only got one way if they're off. What is it? On. You ever try to walk into a room you're already in? We got some straight jacket for people like that. Some long sleeve tuxedo jacket and some padded room. Can I have an amen? You ever turn the light switch off that's already off? That's like looking for a black cat at midnight in a dark room that isn't there. Some of you get it on the way home. Outreach. You feed the sheep that comes in. You know, there's one thing about my dogs and my horses. If I keep them healthy, keep them well fed, keep them well trained, they have babies. I don't have to train them how to have babies. You keep the church sheep healthy, well fed, what? Well trained, taught in the word, they're going to go out and have babies. They're going to bring new people in. Our job is to win sheep. It's God's job to give us stalls for them. That's why we're never going to worry about having a building. People are more important. It's the only thing that's going to last. When we have a building in Antioch Bible Church, it's going to be because it's paid for. Because the minute you get a building and don't pay for it, the building takes priority. Not people. And we're not going to do that here. Amen? Cross-cultural, can I get an amen on that one? You can't get more cross-cultural than you got right here in this room. There's a small number of us. Why? Because the God said in the New Testament model, the church is a thief for all people. Everyone should be able to walk in and feel at home. Can you do that in every church? I'm going to give you a secret. I mean, socially, some churches, you don't have to be the same color just as long as you pull up in a Mercedes. Can I get an amen? Social status. Education. Some of the pastor gets up and preach and you're going, what? They're using those 3-block long words. You can't believe what did he just say? It's like hitting a pinata. We don't know what's going to come out of that thing. Can I get an amen on that? Hear about the guy that... Nah, you don't need that. Nah. Hear about the guy that went and wanted to jump off a bridge because he had heard about bungee jumping? Jumped off. Man alive. Yeah, went down there and was going to death. Yeah, was stressed up. Come back up. And man, he was just beat to death. And then went back down. Bounced back up, more of his clothes were torn off, he was beat more, and went back down, come back up, he was bloody everywhere. He goes, what's a pinata? Some of you get on the way home. H. Healthy worship, like you guys are not getting here tonight. Healthy worship. Why do you think this is important for us as believers to have healthy worship? And know how to please God. We're going to find out that most churches who think they have healthy worship isn't having healthy worship. They're having some good entertainment. You cannot have good healthy worship if you don't prepare before you come to church. Because if you don't prepare before you go to church and you come to church expecting the church to get you into healthy worship, you're not going to do anything but find out what you don't like. If you don't come to church thinking of others being more important than yourself, can't hear you. You know what you're going to find? What you don't like. At Antioch, we really pushed it. The concept of worshiping together is you think of the others being more important than yourself. Folks, I have more influence probably in this church than anyone. Now, knowing that, if I'm not going to get the kind of music I like every Sunday, what do you think the natural aggression is going to be when you come up and say, I don't like that music? Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to change it just for you next week. Can I get an amen on that? I like to get down funky gospel. Just jam it up. Just take me to the heaven. Wow! And sometimes, we can even have some country. We can twang for Jesus.
Reba's sister.
Reba's sister. McIntyre. Good friend of mine. Her family. Sometimes we have Sandy Patty type. White evangelical bubblegum. I didn't say anything was wrong with that. I just don't like it. No. Well, what is the purpose for me when I walk in that door and I hear music? It isn't about me. It's about me thinking of you as being more important. So this Sunday I can claim Philippians 2 that you're hearing what you like and you're worshiping. And I can worship because I'm thinking of you as more than me. Because next Sunday when I walk in here, what I like, you're going to have to claim Philippians 2. And you're going to have to enjoy it because I'm enjoying it more. And I'm more important than you. Then you got the church. And then you got healthy worship. Tell me how many churches you can go to. And every Sunday, you can pick it out what it's going to be like. Is that thinking about everybody else? All right, now I'm going to tell you. Woo! Are we happy? Oh, are we rolling? I tell you, man. Now, here we go. It should say scripture. You got to go to page 16, I believe, right? I could be wrong, but I taught this class a bunch of times. It's 17? I heard one person at 16, one said 17. Oh, we got different books? Well, it's right next to 16 or 17. And at the top, it should say scripture. So, okay, we rolling? Scripture. We're going to talk about scripture. Now, we got to come to a couple of conclusions that is going to be basis for this whole class if you're going to understand. Each week is built upon what? The previous week. Understanding that, if we're starting off with scripture as the final basis of getting into this class, what do you think is the most basic, important thing about Christianity? The scripture, the word. What is the only thing that is true about God? What God said is true about him. That's it. The only thing that's true about God is what God said is true about it. Everything outside of that is idolatry. Anything you and I can come up in our own mind and say that this is real, this is right, is idolatry. Because you thought it up in your own mind. Anything God says is true about him, you can know that it's true. Thus, if you're going to have a religion, if you're going to worship God, if you're going to do it God's way, where must we get it? From the scripture, from the word. This is so basic and so important that you and I got to come to the decision that there's nothing you can base your future, your past, your present on without the word of God. How many of us, if we're honest, when we're hurting, someone comes and want to quote a verse to you. And you go, I don't want to hear it. Talk to the pastor. You'll be there. I mean, you know, you're hurting and someone goes, you know, the Bible says, I don't care what the Bible says. You know, but if we are Christians and remove from us the teaching of the Bible, what have we just done? We have removed all truth in that situation. All truth is gone. The only one that can understand a holy God is a holy God. So if you're going to find out if God wants to be pleased, what must you do? Know what God said in the Word that pleases Him. If we understand that all basic truth, all biblical truth, all teaching, all anything comes from what God has said is true about Him, then you know you're not going to base anything you believe in on anything other than the Scripture. Oh, are we rolling now, huh? So, if we're going to study the Trinity, we better have an understanding of what first? The Scripture. If we're going to study the Trinity and God and what pleases Him and what doesn't please Him, we better know what? The Scripture. If we're going to study salvation, we better understand what? The Scripture. How important is the Scripture? All important. All important. How important is the Scripture? You know what all mean in Greek? All. Don't matter what language it is. If you got all, you got all. This is smoking it, huh? I'm telling you, this is double nasty, boy. The pastor's double nasty. So, let's talk about this. If you're going to talk about eternal security, and it's eternal security that pleases God, what do you got to have? Scriptures. If we're going to talk about future events, things we don't know what's going to happen, but God said it's going to happen, what you better know? Scriptures. Ooh. How many of you have ever tried to base your Christian life on something other than the Scriptures? Majority of us. Majority of us. Do you know that 90% of what Christians know has come from someone else? Of what we know about God has come from someone else. How many of you are married in here? Okay? Let me ask you a question. What if 90% of what you knew about your partner came from someone else before you married him? Would you marry him? Don't say no probably. How many of you got a sister of this girl and your guy, and you're talking to you, you gotta know my sister. And you spent 3 months listening to her sister talk about it, and you're just in love with her. I gotta marry that girl. I've heard all good things. What is the first thing you want to do when you hear about it? Well, meet them would be good. But you want to do what? Get to know them. There's nothing like getting to know them by spending time with them. If you don't know God, what's the best way to get to know God? Oh, and how do we spend time with Him? How important is the Scripture? You guys are flowing tonight, boy. I tell you, this class is what's happening. Another thing. If you want to know what God doesn't like, you go to people He's smoked. You probably, well, I know one thing He doesn't like. Smoke. God just forget to tell you to breathe. You know. He has that power, you know. It's a good thing God made breathing involuntary. Man, that's a lot of lazy people. I mean, something wrong. What's wrong? I don't know. What? I forgot to breathe. Oh, yeah. I have a friend so lazy he wrote his prayers. Stuck them on the wall. Falling dancing. Number two, Lord. There's probably no one like that in this class, right? Somebody looking at me like, oh, you're kidding me. There we go, my brother. When we talk about the truthesis, y'all know what the truthesis is. That's a Southern serious truth. There's more than one truth. All right. The Scripture. Okay, we're ready. What time is it, girls? Got 25 minutes? Okay, we're gonna get on the first one. Because you guys need. And now, this is going to be a lot easier because for 10 years, I have asked you to look up scriptures and read them. You know how what kind of strain that is on me? It got so bad last class with Mike. I changed my whole class. No longer am I going to ask anyone to look up a verse. It takes an extra 3 weeks to finish this class. I changed it this year. I looked up the verses and I got them written down. So the only thing you got to do is when I call you, would you stand up and read that verse? Huh? Come on, talk to the pastor. Man, this is a rough class. I'm glad I like myself already. If you look in your book, the first one on there is what? Character of Scripture. If, check this out, if the Scripture is alive, and who is the Scripture? God. The greatest thing about all eternity, guys, is not that God came down in the flesh. That's awesome. That's how he paid for our sin. But that's not how he teaches us. Coming down to die for our sin. That's not how he taught us. God chose to do it with words. On the page. God didn't, come on, you're like, flow with me, folks. He didn't just come in the flesh. God came as a word on a page. As an incarnation. Talk to me. He was an epiphany. Ooh, that's a big college word. I thought about a big word for a black man to play the athletics. God in a bod. That's what an epiphany is. He came down in the flesh. You can understand that, right? What about when he came and got on a page? That's why we get the word living scriptures. Huh? Come on, talk! Am I the only one excited about this? I'm going to quit. God literally came down. That's why you can't read the Bible like another book. You read a book and you can drain it. You can. How many of you ever tried to read a book and you really enjoyed it, so you're gonna read it again? And it just don't speak to you the same way the second time, because it's not. But you can go to the Bible and you can read it, and then you can read it again, and you can read it again, and then you can read it again, and then one day you read it and bam, it just wakes up on you. Anyone ever had that experience? Well, God's got to help us. Because y'all are making me work harder than usual. Where now? The character of Scripture. First verse on there was 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Who would like to stand and read this verse for me? Thank you.
All Scripture is inspired by God.
Don't read too fast, man. We got athletes in here. All right, now, what was it? What did it say? All what? All what? How much of that scripture is left out of this?
None.
Absolutely. How much?
None.
If it is from God, it must be true. Now, we have another. Keep standing, because we're going to walk through this together, brother. All right. And one of the other things we've got to understand is, if it is all scripture, anything man tries to add to scripture becomes what? What was it? False doctrine. So, if you're going to submit to someone who is supposed to be a spiritual leader, and they are not coming from the Bible, how do you think we get cults? We've talked about several of the religions. Mormons, the teaching of Mormonism is based off of the Bible and what else? The Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price, based on three books. Can't hear you. Anyone know that? Am I the only one? And you got to understand something too. Does anyone know how many times their Bible outside of the Bible, and they'll tell you that translation of the Bible is translated out of King James Version, and they tell you as much as it is what? This is the Word of God as... Anyone have any Mormon background? Okay. Do you remember what they say about the original Bible? Not just the Pearl of Great Price and the Book of Mormon, but the original Bible. What's the last thing they put on it? Yeah. As correctly translated. Very good. As correctly translated. Now, question. What does that mean? No, if it doesn't agree with them, it's not correctly translated. I mean, what an easy way out. Since Joseph Smith, Joseph Smith. And they have found many other things. Why do we not? Why is it we don't spend very much time on studying other religions? No, because you do not learn how to pick out counterfeits by holding counterfeit money. The Treasury Department only allows those who's to be using money. They're only trained by real money. They never touch a counterfeit dollar. They touch the real thing. And at the end of their training, they throw a counterfeit in immediately because they've handled the real thing. They can pick out what? What's not real. So if you really want to know what the truth is, what the Bible teaches, you don't study what's false. You study what's real and true. So when something false comes along, a little light comes on and says what? It may not be that same tone if your woman be. Okay, how much scripture? All scripture is given by God. We know for a fact that it is all inclusive. Keep me to my brother. All scripture is inspired by God. You can have a seat for a little bit because we're going to spend a little time on this one. All scripture is inspired by God. It is inspired by man. It's inspired by traditions. It's inspired by denomination. It's inspired by a single man. It's inspired by who? God. In some translations, if you had your Bible in different translations, there's another word for this. What was it? God breathed. All scripture is God breathed. What does that mean? My heart hurts, boy. How important is scripture? Oh, you guys didn't say that with enthusiasm. Let me back up here. How important is scripture? All important. I said, don't you, man? You know what God did? you just don't get it, dude. God reached down. Grab some dirt. He got some dirt. And then what did he do with that dirt to make man? Breathed in it. God breathed in it. He breathed life into dirt. Dirt! All men are dirty old men. How many times did he breathe in that dirt to make Adam? Once. And do you understand what happened when he breathed in the dirt? He, by one breath of God, he put enough life in dirt for it to last up to this day. No! Is anyone understanding what I'm saying? In the dirt. Huh? And he gave dirt what? Life. If God can breathe into dirt and give it life, what must a Christian do to have the Christian life growing in him every day? He's got to have God into him. Oh, you know how many Christians try to live the Christian life without the breath of God into you? When you open the Word of God, whoo, life. Look, give me energy. I want to hyperventilate on the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? Lord, just give me a second. Word. Breathing. God. On a page. And then he breathed that word on a page. Have you ever wondered why God chose words? God could have chosen any way he wanted to communicate. He could have communicated through, what's that stuff they got? Telepathy. That's a big word for an old athlete from Alabama, too, man. For me to say that. He could have just given us the opportunity to just think and hear what others are thinking. And we communicate that way. Ooh, would that be bad on kids? Can't hear you. You said, parents. Oh, and it'd be really bad for husbands. You're sitting around there and I hear you. I didn't say nothing. I hear you thinking out loud. God knew what he was doing. Amen, brothers. He gave us words. He spoke words. And then he breathed on a page and gave us his son. Life on a page. Do you guys understand why I love my Bible so much? Why I love the Word of God so much? It's the only thing that's on a page that's living. Okay, bro.
All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for the doctrine.
For doctrine. Another word for doctrine is, if you got it in translation, teaching. Check this out. If God is the one who breathes, God breathes into the word, into dirt, gave it life. God breathes into the word. A believer, if you're going to live, have to have the word of God breathing into you so you can have spiritual life. The gospel of God, the doctrines of God, teaching, anything you need to know that pleases God is taught where? In the Bible. So if you go outside the Bible, let someone else go outside the Bible to try to teach you what is teaching, a teachable to be, then you have just started allowing someone to teach you false doctrine. How many Christians, how many churches do you think teach more false doctrine outside of the scriptures than true doctrine, the God-breathed word alive to you and I? How many of you begin to understand that if I'm going to live the Christian life, I need the Word of God in me? Huh? I need it in me. I need it in me so I can out. The Word so I can out. So when I in, I got something to say. You know what I'm saying? Oh, this is going too fast for you. I see your brain smoking a little bit. It's good for doctrine and for rebuking. Now, let me tell you what it says. So this Bible, this Word, this Scripture will not only teach you what you need to know, but it'll teach you how to be rebuked. It'll not only rebuke you, it'll teach you how to rebuke others by using that which you've been taught with. Ooh, can I get an amen on it? Huh? You see what I'm doing? I can't get excited for you. Keep on, my brother. I love this. It says, not only will teach you the things you need to know, but teach you the things you need to do to be rebuked by the Word. That's why many people don't want to study the Word. Because it says the Word is penetrating. It's like a sword that cuts. It's a two-edged sword. When most people think about the two-edged sword of the Word, what do they think about? What do they think about? The Word of God is a two-edged sword. What do they think? And you know, yeah, in the South, they said sword. Come on, girl, you know what I'm saying. It's a sword. Now you get cut by a sword. But it's called a sword. A two-edged sword. And it's not for slicing to and fro. Did you know that? It says the Word of God is a two-edged sword and able to cut to the marrow of the bone. See, the Word of God is a penetrating object. If it wasn't sharp on both sides, it couldn't penetrate them. If it was dull on one side, what would it do? The dull side stops it from penetrating deeply. And says the Word of God cuts you deeply to the marrow of your being. And that's why many Christians, when they're not walking with God, don't want to do what? Get breathed on. Because have you ever put something penetrable, something antiseptic, something that cleans out in a sore. It burns. Ah! And the word of God, God says, rebukes, and then it turns around, and then after it cuts, it teaches you how to be healed. Oh! And that just, it corrects you. It tells you, okay, remember this. If the word of God says, you ought to do this and this and this, but it don't tell you what not to do, you can always remember, you're always right if you don't sin. I may not know what to do, but don't sin in this situation. And if you don't sin in this situation, what you do is right. Talk to the pastor! And that's from the word. See, you don't have to know everything. You just know what sin is. Then don't do it. Talk to the pastor. Am I awfully blue up here tonight? Okay. Hey, brother, what you doing sitting down, man? You got me some reading. If I got to stand up the whole time, you stand up. Okay, I'm just kidding. What's next? Now, check this out. Not only the word of God that was breathed from God, it is a complete breathing from God. So when it corrects you, then it tells you how to get back in the right way when you've been rebuked, when you've been taught, when you've been corrected. Then it says, do this, and you'll be right before God. Go. How important is the word? Are you beginning to see it a little bit? Are you beginning to get the flow of why the word is so important, why this week is built? You got to have this week built before you can go to the next week. Are we rolling? You know what I'm saying? And if you miss next week, you only got part of them. Then you ever have a dog trained to bite but not to come off? No. That's called one of my guard dogs. Can you imagine me training my dog just to bite and not when to stop? Is that a dangerous animal? It ceases to be meek. I was talking about it today. Christians are meek. I'm wrestling. My buddy show wrestling. But I can't believe he. I'm going to call him tomorrow. I'm going to talk about him too. Because you know what he said? Christians think meek means weak. You know what meek means? The word of God can teach you. It means power under control. When I saddle up my stallion, my Appaloosa stallion, and I put that saddle on him, I get on him, and I get... And then he's listening. So every time I turn that thing, boom, he turns. I split that, he stops. And I turn around and take a peek and take on it. That's power under control. Is he weak? No, he's under control. But that same power that's not under control ceases to be meek. It gets to be dangerous. And will hurt you quick. You know what I'm talking about? Same way with my dog. Atum, boom. It comes to attention. I mean, just one word, wham. Okay, anything in the way, they bite. Oh, boom, they stop. Posh, boom, they're on the ground. That's if you move, they know that they will get you. This is like, please move, please move. That's what? That's power under control. And the Bible says, I will teach you how to take all this power from the life of the Word of God and... How important is the word? Keep me to my brother. Man is the biblical word. Thank you, brother. Man is the biblical word for everyone. God made man, male and female, he made man. Genesis, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about why it's changed so much when we talk about the fall of man. Isn't it amazing that God says, and how much of that scripture now is God breathed? God inspired? 5 minutes? I was just getting warm. Are you just getting warm? Just getting warmed up, baby. I think we got another verse here in the character of scripture, right? Yeah, bro. How can they are not inspired to be the Word of God? Books that are in the Bible are not in the Bible. because it was in the canonization of all the putting the Bible together is what canonization is. When they put the Bible together, they looked at it from the ones who knew Christ, the words that came from Christ, the teaching of Christ, and from the men of old, and they looked at how they all complemented one another. They had to complement one another because God is not a God of confusion. And if there was basic truths in these things that was written that didn't line up with all the others, they can only come up with over 1,400 years, over 40 writers that all lined up, and we got 66 books. 39 in the old, 27 in the new, that all canonized and then contradict. Written by men, the new God. Who? Because the Catholic Bible has several Bibles that books that others don't have. Now, the Maccabees was bad boys. I mean, you know, it was bad. But it just don't canonize. It didn't line up. That was contradiction. They matched what the Catholics wanted, but not the rest of the church. So that's why we can know. And who put most of the New Testament together? Anyone know? Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Philemon. A slave. Not Philemon, his slave, Onesimus, put most of the Bible together. And Onesimus goes back to become Philemon's pastor. Because he was trained by Paul, was made him stronger biblically than his master, Philemon. Yes, ma'am. Oh, my goodness. Before Paul died, so it had to be what, before 60-something? Okay. Now, check this out. 2 Peter 1, 20, 21. Wow. Should we just hold out because we really need to break this down because this is good. But I'll read it for you real quick. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is a what? Any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but they what? But holy men of God spake as they were moved by who? Holy Ghost. We're going to break that down and tell you what that means. Easy. Ask him, is any of the history books tampered with? No. You had to ask that. Says, did man write the Quran? Right? So history. You go with the history aspect. Did man write history? Yeah. Did Mohammed exist? You go, well, yeah. Did you ever see him? What do you have to say? No. Why do you believe he exists? Because man wrote about it. Well, if man did it, could man tamper with it? He has to say what? Yeah. But you say, but you believe that your God is strong enough to keep it correct. Even though man tamper with it, your God, if he's going to judge you on it, and he's a righteous God, he has to make sure that what you're being judged by was protected by him. And if your God can do it, which I don't believe in, I know my God can, who I do believe in. Damn. See? And that's the only way you and I can understand it. That if God is going to judge us on what he says in the scriptures, then he has to protect that over the years to make sure that we have the true word of God. There's a lot of false stuff out there. A lot of false things called scripture out there. But you compare it to that which is closest to the Dead Sea Scrolls. Anyone know how important the Dead Sea Scrolls were? All important. Why? Because the Dead Sea Scrolls of Scripture, they found the Scripture. They found the whole book of Isaiah. Can anyone know when they translated it, what was the only thing that was different? And the Dead Sea Scrolls was just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. Anyone know what the only difference was? No. I mean, because they translated Hebrew to Hebrew. You know when you make a T? And you draw the top of the T across? The only difference was at the end of that cross of gold on the T didn't have a little tip up. That's what it was all saying. Why? Because we have a God who says, if I'm going to judge you, I got to keep that which I breathe pure to judge you purely. Guess what that takes? Faith in the Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to open your Word. Father, there's nothing more important than the Word. Everything is based off the Word, off your Scriptures. And I'm so pleased that we have the opportunity to study your Word. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for the minds. Thank you for those that have heard. May they never be the same, because we will hear from you about what you have said, about what you have breathed. And it is so powerful, Lord, that one breath into dirt has created all life in man up to this day and will surpass this day. In Jesus' name, amen.